The entrance to the dungeon is a moss-covered door. You manage to open it, only to find yourself face-to-face with a hideous, foul-smelling, moss-covered ogre. What do you do?
I say, hey, Ma, what's for dinner?
17. The ogre is amused by your joke and allows you to pass. By the by, I liked it too.
How go the wedding plans, Howard?
Great. Spent 5 hours last night at Macy's registering for gifts. Looks like I'm finally gonna have that darling little earthenware asparagus dish I've always wanted.
See, this is the good thing about having a girlfriend 9,000 miles away. I can spend my nights doing whatever I want.
You mean like playing nerd games with us and then taking a suspiciously long shower?
Maybe. We enter the dungeon.
You see a dragon.
Really? So we're playing Dungeons and Dragons, and we walk into a dungeon and see a dragon? Isn't that a little on the nose?
When you play Chutes and Ladders, do you complain about all the chutes and all the ladders?
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids,
math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast. And we're your hosts, Big Bang Theory super fans, married couple Kat
and Paul.
And we just love to talk about all things Big Bang.
We certainly do. And this week was a very interesting episode. It didn't really push the characters along, although we do see that Raj is very depressed about everything. But what do we think about this episode?
Meh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it didn't have a whole lot. Amy and Bernadette were there for a sneeze. And when I say a sneeze, they were really there just for a sneeze, and that was it.
You didn't, one scene.
One scene, and you didn't get to see them for the rest of the show. I think Sheldon's idea of just running with the
dice,
Dungeons and Dragons dice, to try and make decisions for himself is a very interesting thing. But that
was probably the highlight of the episode.
That's Sheldon through and through, though. He's so quirky. He would come up with something like that. But before we get started, I've got to go back to episode 2, the infestation hypothesis. Season 5, episode 2.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think which one that was.
That was the one about the chair that
Penny had the chair that she put up, right? Uh-huh.
So I had put a question. Have you ever had a long-distance relationship? And I got one response today. And remember, these questions are up all the time. Stephanie actually responded, and she said, yes, it didn't work. He cheated. Oh, Stephanie, you poor love.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Unfortunately, that is not an uncommon thing in long-distance relationships.
I guess that would probably... It would be very hard to maintain a long-distance relationship. I know when Kat and I first got married, I moved back to Australia, and she was in America, and we were apart for how long?
Pretty much our first... Well, you left 10 days after we got married, and I came to Australia 10 days before our first anniversary.
Yeah, so almost an entire year.
Yeah, and it was challenging. It was
very, very
easy.
Challenging. I certainly didn't go down the rabbit hole of cheating on her, because why would you? Because you're married to the person. But
that doesn't mean anything.
I know it doesn't mean I know it doesn't mean a whole lot to
I mean,
a lot of people,
it means a lot to us, but there are some people who don't take it seriously.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, that was the... But, yeah, I'm sorry about that, Stephanie. But remember, everyone, these questions are up all the time, so you can go back through the list and just answer them to your heart's content like everyone has done. So,
Stephanie, if just think of it this way, better to know now than six kids from now.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you dodged a bullet.
You probably dodged a very, very big bullet. So, yes. Thank you to everybody that always responds to these questions. We really do appreciate it, and we really love the interaction with you guys, because we know that we've got an awesome PMS family. So we really love that you guys come back week after week to listen to us.
Our fans are the best.
They really are. We've got great fans, so we're really happy that you guys interact with us. Now, we are going to go into season 5, episode number 3.
4.
Is it 4? Is it okay? 4.
The wiggly finger catalyst.
I don't know why they call it the wiggly finger.
Because when you sign, it looks like you're wiggling your fingers.
Oh, God. I've really got to have more coffee.
Yeah, you do.
So this episode opens up where we've got the guys and they're playing Dungeons and Dragons, and poor old Raj is sitting there eating an entire pie all to himself.
Well, I also love the fact that Sheldon rolls the dice and is like, okay, you've entered a dungeon and you're up against a fire-breathing dragon. And Howard looks at him and he's like, really? We're playing Dungeons and Dragons where you go into a dungeon and you meet a dragon? Don't you think that's just a little on the nose?
Well, it really is. I mean, come on. There are so many other characters you can come up with, but that is...
Well, at some point, you have to be in a dungeon and meet a dragon. I mean, come on. You just got
apparently it. So. But I mean, I've played Dungeons and Dragons.
I never have.
Before. You have to obviously use your imagination because the Dungeon Master is the one that really keeps the game going and introduces different scenarios in it. And it really is quite fun, but it's a very long game. I have to say, it's in a
future episode, the one where Howard is the Dungeon Master and he does all the voices and stuff.
Yes, that's when he has all the girls that come over.
Yeah, and the girls are playing.
Yeah.
That episode is one of my all-time favorites because
Simon Helberg is amazing.
Because Simon Helberg is just so freaking brilliant in that episode.
Yeah, that is just something that I'd really, you could almost imagine, him going into the audition and them going, okay, is there anything that you could do? And he goes, oh, I could do, I don't know, Christopher Walken. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, do it. And he does it. And they're like, oh, my God.
Well, yeah, I strongly suspect, and I would really love to get this confirmed, that they wrote that episode specifically for Simon Helberg to show him off. I personally think that myself.
Yeah. I think
because
that is one of
the just so brilliant in those scenes.
Yeah, I think they knew what he could do, and they went, you know what, we're going to go ahead and write that scene for him. So
yeah,
that's really quite. I love that episode. That is good. But as we're going along, we're seeing that poor old Raj is basically blaming his loneliness on the fact that when he's blaming his loneliness on the USA. He says because of the movies and the TV shows, they promised him basically streets paved with beautiful blonde women with big bazongas.
Yeah.
I love it how Howard goes, we'll keep eating the pie and you'll have your own bazongas
to play with.
But,
I love the fact that Raj is like, I just don't want to play anymore. And Sheldon's like, because you don't have a girlfriend? Good Lord, if that becomes a reason not to play Dungeons & Dragons, this game is in serious trouble.
It is very much in trouble because that game is predominantly guys who really can't get any. I'm sorry to say.
It's
a lot of guys that, I'm not going to toot my own horn. I've never had a problem, not finding somebody.
Well, that's because you're adorable.
Oh, you can't. You only say that because you're married to me.
Well, no, I say that because the first time I met you, I took one look at those big brown eyes and that beautiful smile, and I'm like, I want to know this guy.
It's only because I was serving her fish, everyone, and she was really hungry.
No, it's because he's awfully adorable.
Plus, I opened my mouth, and I remember when I got to America and I was working, and I opened my mouth to... I was talking to a customer and she's like, oh my God, I love British accents. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's I'm not nice. British. And she's like, yes, you are. And I'm like, no, I'm Australian. And they're like, she's like, no. And I could not convince her.
Well, it's that she because was, that I was you not speak British. Properly. And Americans think Aussies need to sound like Crocodile Dundee.
Which there are parts of Australia that do sound like that.
You know, it's the last knife.
Yeah. And look,
which
and
I know I did very badly.
No, that sounds very good. that sounds great. There are Australians that do sound like that, that you sound like you're running your tongue across a razor blade. But if you do, not all of Australia sounds like that. So when I speak the way that I speak, probably because my mother and father, brought me up in a house that we didn't have the gruff talking parents. We actually had the proper English speaking parents. So when as I said, I could not convince this girl either way that I was not English, but it was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yes, that is one of the big things of that. Dungeons and Dragons predominantly is by poor guys who can't really get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So they basically fall into the mystical warlords of Ka'a or you know, or Dungeons and Dragons. So now we transition from that scene over to Penny's apartment, and the girls are having a bit of a wax. Now that was
it's
the
a
wax
spa
is
night,
what?
Kind of a home and, spa night,
right? And what is the wax? Because I was trying to work that
oh,
out.
Oh, that stuff is awesome. I've only done it once or twice, and you can actually some nail salons have it's like an add-on that you can do for the full-on spa treatment, and basically they take wax and they put it in this thing that melts it, and you dip your hands in it up. It's a paraffin treatment, and it makes your and you put your hands in it and you coat your hands with it and you let it sit for a little while, and then you peel off the wax and it makes them really soft and super moisturized.
So it's essentially peeling off the dead skin as well.
But it feels really nice. I'm like, man, I'd love having that done. That would
and
that
of course
years.
You know what does Amy come up with? Oh, is this wax the same gonna thing we're going to be using for our lady parts?
To tidy up our lady parts. And Penny's like, oh, my lady parts are just fine. And Amy's like, I'm not surprised, too surprised.
Because then Bernadette mentions that Raj came along with her and Howard to some cake tests, the cake testing because...
Oh, yeah,
because
Amy asked Bernadette how the wedding planning is coming. Right. Not that I'm asking to be a bridesmaid.
Pick me.
And she's like, oh, it was fine. Raj ended up crying and eating half the samples.
Yeah. And because Penny's like, oh, man, you know, I feel so sorry about it. We should seriously fix him up with somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And
I love how Bernadette's like, oh, I met this really pretty woman in one of our test groups the other day. She's married to one of the guys in one of our trials. And Penny's like, oh, well, she's married. Well, not for long.
Yeah, because apparently
he has end-stage congestive heart failure, and a little birdie told me he's in the placebo group.
And I love it. Penny goes, okay, so one heartbroken widow is the one to go for.
Is the one to beat.
One to beat. So, okay. So then we go transition from that now over to the Cheesecake Factory, and the guys are having dinner, and Sheldon says that he's now decided to make all his decisions with Dungeons and Dragons dice, and that way he can free up his mind for work. And it's like, okay, interesting scenario, Sheldon. I don't know whether it would be, I don't know. I mean, the way he comes up with what he's going to be having for dinner, like he rolls the dice, and of course they're like, okay, so what are you having for dinner? And he goes, I'm having a plate full of succotash, and I'm going to be washing it down with a
pitcher
of margaritas. I would love to see that with Sheldon.
And for dessert, come on, hot fudge sundae.
And he rolls it and he goes, that's what I'm talking about. So it's like, and of course, and as he says, you know, and like how Leonard says, well, is that what you really want to have for dinner? And he goes, it doesn't matter what I want. It's the fact that it's actually making the decisions for me and I don't have to think about things, you know, on that level. And because it's a very small part of my life, so I'm not even going to worry about that. Let the dice do it. It's like, okay, but you're not really going to be going all that well with this. So we see that as we're going along, Penny comes and asks Howard if she can come with if he can come with her. And he's like, oh, I don't want to show your other friends that I can fit into the booster seat in the restaurant. And she's like, no, can you please come with me? So he walks away. And of course, she comes back with this girl by the name of Emily. And she's a friend of Penny's. And she knows her, obviously, from spin class. But when we introduce her to Raj, Raj immediately starts to whisper into Leonard's ear. And Penny goes, no, 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 it's okay, Raj, it's fine. She's deaf, which allows Raj to overcome his mutism and to speak to her without alcohol, which is really great to see.
Now, what I'd really like to know is with the millions of women's names, why do we end up with at least two people named Emily for him to date?
I know. That's what I was thinking.
And it just gets confusing.
That's what I was thinking when I saw her, because I'm like, okay, so this is Emily number one. This is the first Emily.
Yep.
The second one was the redheaded Emily.
Was the creepy one.
The creepy one. That,
well, they're both redheads.
No. Wasn't this Emily blonde or brunette? She was brunette.
She's kind of a strawberry blonde.
Okay. But the other one, the redhead, was the striking redhead.
Yeah, but she was also the creepy one.
I mean, a lot of people would say it's not creepy to want to have sex in a graveyard, but obviously it turns Raj completely off.
No, but she was creepy as.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are some...
I do not like that girl.
There are some quirky parts about her.
No, she was She wasn't quirky. She was crazy.
Well, she's coming up. We're gonna have the Emily part two coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
So Howard,
I'd take Priya over her.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I would not take Priya over Emily.
I would take Priya over creepy Emily any day. No,
I would stick with creepy Emily over Priya.
Nope.
No. Well, nope. This is why I'm gonna date Emily. You can date Priya.
No thanks. I don't swing that way.
No, I don't swing either way. My
excuse me.
I've taken my swing down.
excuse me.
I don't have my swing set anymore.
I could have told you differently than that at 4 a.m. this morning.
Anyway, as we're going along, I am not getting into that conversation because I don't even know what's going on.
I'll tell you later.
I'm just going to have a swig of my beverage. You keep talking about this.
So Penny brings Emily over, and it turns out that Howard, for an unknown reason, knows sign language.
Yeah, and I asked you.
I think he had like a deaf cousin or something. I think it came out at some point.
And I did ask you what they were signing, because you know how to sign.
Yeah, in another life many years ago, I was actually an American Sign Language interpreter.
And I
got to be the official interpreter for several years for the Society of American Magicians. And I actually got to interpret for Penn and Teller, which was way fun.
Yes, you did.
I almost sprained my wrist interpreting for Penn.
And I asked you exactly if they were actually doing it correctly, because this show is very, very accurate with a lot of stuff. So I asked you with what they were talking about, is that, and how was
actually it was very good. Interestingly, Katie Leclerc, who plays Emily, is hard of hearing in real life due to Meniere's disease.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And so her signing is very natural and very fluid. But it was funny because Raj actually, in the desperation emanation, he had already claimed to be dating a deaf woman, though he later admitted in the boyfriend complexity that this was a lie and he hadn't been kissed in over a year.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, so, I mean, she's very fast. I have to admit, Simon Helberg either was not very good or kind of lazy about it.
Yeah.
Because his signing was actually kind of sloppy.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So was it like all over the place? Or was it very, very one-dimensional?
It was.
Was he like doing a lot of abbreviations?
No,
and stuff?
It was the equivalent of, well, basically it was like how a lot of Aussies just kind of run all the words together so you can barely understand a word they're saying.
Yep. Gotcha.
Kind of like that.
Yeah. So he wasn't saying the cat set
he ran it all the way through. He was taking some shortcuts, definitely, but he also was not very exacting. So it was like he just wasn't enunciating.
Yeah, because one of the scenes that we'll get to after when they come out of the cafe, you know, there's Raj trying to show Emily the stars and show her where Andromeda is and where Cassiopeia is, and Emily looks to Howard and he goes, look, pretty stars. So it's like, you know, instead of signing exactly what Raj is saying.
That being said, there's a good chance that he doesn't know the technical terminology, if you will, for what Raj is saying, because he's talking very specifically about constellations and it's very business specific, industry specific language. And he's honestly, it takes forever to figure spell out things.
Yeah.
And he probably just was exhausted by this point. But what's interesting is on that date, it actually didn't make sense for Raj to bring Howard to his date with Emily to interpret for him, because being a tech nerd, he could have just used his phone or a tablet to write things down and had some privacy.
Like he was doing with that other girl that he went to a restaurant with, and she was, you know, not redheaded Emily, the other girl that used to leave him when they would go on a date.
Oh, what was her name?
Yeah. But they had a date where they were texting backwards and forwards to each other. Because they were really nervous with each other. So he could have actually done that, but I guess he wanted to try and make an effort with Emily.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was more for emotional support.
Yeah. Well, I think Howard that works, but... yeah. And so when we might as well just get on to that the date now. So they decide to meet up at a cafe, and Raj takes Howard. And when they're sitting there, Raj says to Howard, okay, so when she comes in and sits down, I'm going to make a joke about her being deaf. Like, have you heard the one of, I bet you haven't. And he goes, really? That's what you want to start with, is a joke about her being deaf. And then when they're also talking, he says, well, you know, could you tell her that I've got the sultry voice of James Earl Jones? And he's like, she doesn't know what James Earl Jones sounds like.
And he's like, great, and then she won't know I'm lying.
Or it's like, you know, the same way as when they're talking backwards and forwards. And Raj is like, you know, what else can I tell you about myself that makes you like me? Oh, I like music. Do you like music? And it's like, oh, Raj, you're killing me. She's never heard music. She's deaf.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, the date is very interesting because they actually end up with a pretty good conversation to the point where they're in the cafe, and as you see the date's going along, they end up by being the last people there, and Howard has to go out with Bernadette, so he starts texting Bernadette about the fact that he's running late, and okay. Emily is telling a story about the fact that at one stage
she got a puppy,
and so there's Howard, you know, texting, looking down, and Raj is like, well, what does she say? And he goes, it's okay.
He's like, it's a story about a cute puppy, smile and nod, and yeah. Then all of a sudden he's like, Stop smiling. The puppy choked on a doll head and died.
And sad face. It's like, oh, so yeah, it did. Yeah. I mean, but all in all, it actually did a pretty good job as far as the first date goes.
Yeah.
And of course, when it comes to the end and they're leaving, he says to Howard, well, do you think I should kiss her? And he goes, well, would you kiss her? And he says, well, yeah, of course I would, because I'm the makeout, you know, master.
Yeah, I'm the makeout king.
Emily does actually kiss Raj and tells him to text her. And of course, Raj brags that he was so smooth on that day. But of course, Howard knows that it was all
well,
him.
I made you smooth.
Yeah. And he goes, well, it might have been, you know, your date was my goodnight kiss. And of course, Raj's like, but she kissed me. And he goes, okay, let's both agree that she kissed both of us. And it's like, oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're back in the apartment and pizza night's arrived. Thursday is pizza night from Graziano's, and Sheldon is, well, he's decided to grow a moustache because it's the result of the dice.
Telling him what percentage of his face to shave. Yeah. Now, what's interesting is that most episodes take place over maybe a few days. This yep. one obviously takes place over a month because Raj mentioned that. And that's it's right. illustrated by how Sheldon managed to grow a mustache and Raj has learned sign language, which we see in the next
yeah.
scene. But it's also interesting that it's on the date. Emily asked him if he played an instrument and he said no. But in other places, he said that he plays the guitar. And I think we've seen a guitar in his
we
apartment,
have.
But we've never actually seen him play it. So
until he, that Howard and Raj form that group.
Oh yeah, thing, the
footprints
band.
On the moon. Footprints on the moon.
Yeah, that's right.
And he has the guy from the geology department. Oh God, what's his name?
Bert.
Yeah, that he's the Bert. He plays the guitar. Howard plays the piano, and Raj plays the guitar.
That's
at
right.
The bar mitzvah coming up.
That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, that's right. Someone was listening to, you know, one of the guys who's this really ultra cool guy. Was saying how much he liked the band because he saw them at the comic book store playing.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that when
yeah,
we
get
into
that
episode. Yeah.
So the guys, everyone's talking about Raj and Emily about the fact they've been going out for a month, and they soon find out that Raj is absolutely showering Emily with gifts and starts to get
paid off her credit cards.
Yep.
He leased her a car. He bought her some diamond earrings.
Yeah, and of course we find out that Sheldon is one of his lesser things that he wanted to do was to become a notary public.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to do some notarizing for Raj. And he has told everyone that the Kuthrupolis are not just rich. They're richy rich. And they're like, and of course, Penny's like, well, how rich is that? And
well, he says they're
somewhere between Bruce Wayne.
No. At first he says they're something wealthy.
Vastly wealthy.
And she's like, what do you mean by vastly wealthy? And he's like, well, wealthy means a lot of money and vastly wealthy means even more. I'm really not sure what's tripping you up here.
Yeah. And they said, well, then, well, how much is that? How much are they worth?
Yeah.
And he said, somewhere between Bruce Wayne and Scrooge McDuck.
Which I just find hilarious.
That's hilarious. That is good. And I love it how at this stage, Leonard decides to go to talk to Priya.
I have to go talk to Priya, who I just love so much right now.
So vastly much.
Which is really kind of annoying because Leonard's not about, he's not that kind of guy.
He's not.
That was a really out of character line for him.
Yeah. But when Howard does say the fact that he's paid off all of Emily's credit cards, this is where Penny suddenly gets the frustration and decides to think out loud that she could have dated Raj for a few months. She had the chance, because you know there is a good chance that he would have probably paid her credit cards off, like he's done for Emily.
Yeah.
But as we can see, you know, this whole thing of like Raj expresses himself in a monetary sense. I mean, he's very, very, I mean, when they were at the cafe, you know, when they were talking and he says to Howard, ask her how many children that she wants and whatever the number is, I'm good with that.
Yes,
and
it's
like,
too.
And it's like, no, that's not it. And so, you know, Raj is very expressive in his, like he goes from 0 to 1 million very, very quickly. He falls very, very in love very, very fast.
Yeah.
But the only way that he can seem to show affection to women is the fact that he will go out and buy these expensive gifts, as we see with Emily. And really, Howard is really doing is trying to show Raj that this is not the way that it should be done, that the person should actually love you for you, not what you can give them.
Yeah. I dated a trust fund baby at one point, and he could not understand that I cared about him for him. He just couldn't get his head around it. And kept accusing me of just liking him for his money.
I think there's a lot of people that are trust fund babies out there that do have the same situation, that they don't know who to trust. I mean, you see like rock stars and stuff like that, they'll have a core group of friends that they know they can trust, that they're not looking for, oh, listen, I've got myself in debt. Can you loan me $100,000?
Yeah.
So a lot of people might get into that inner circle and suddenly, you know, they're asking this rock star for X amount of money. So, you know, with a trust fund baby, they probably have got the same situation.
Well, I know that he had other people that he dated that did that, but he wouldn't believe me that I didn't care about the money.
Yeah, so he's always had that situation of,
which is probably part of why it's hard for me to let you spend money on me.
Well, I spend money on you. It doesn't matter because I love you and I'm married to you. So there we go.
And you're
going
on a date tomorrow.
I am. We've got date day tomorrow. And if people are sitting there going, hang on a minute, you're married. Why are you dating your wife? This is what you do, people.
This is part of what makes a truly successful relationship.
Let's go into Paul's relationship bubble for a second.
Never stop dating.
It's nice and fun. We've got squishy couches we can sit on. We've got some toys in the corner. This is what people.
Not those kind of toys. Get your mind out of the gutter.
I didn't say those kind of toys.
No, I'm talking to the audience. Honey.
Okay. Everyone, it's G-rated for the toys. But this is what I say, everyone, is that regardless of whether you are... Okay, let's just do it with the married people, okay?
The wedding is not the end.
It's the beginning. And just because you're married to that person doesn't mean that you can't take them out on dates. You know, the age-old thing of spicing up your love life with this or that? It's the same scenario, except... this is just getting that moment together. You know, both Kat and I work very, very hard, and I'm away from the house. She works from home. We only really come together of a night time when I come home from work. We're both exhausted. We both basically have dinner, sit down and relax and watch the TV. And, you know, basically we go to sleep. A date is when we can just go and disconnect from the world and just be with each other. So even if you are married to somebody, you can take them out on dates, and it's awesome to do that. Just to find somewhere, it doesn't matter, you know, get a picnic blanket and some food and go down to the beach and sit there. That's a lovely date. It's something to do that we disconnect from everything.
It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be fancy. It's just about choosing to spend time together.
Yeah. So, you know,
this is what... and you always want to go out and you want to not talk about the house, the kids, the car, the job, any of the stress-inducing stuff. It's about connecting as a couple and remembering why you're together in the first place.
Exactly. So that's what you do.
Yeah.
So back from Paul's little...
romance bubble.
Romance bubble. Let's go back into the episode. So we now at the gym.
Got it.
And Howard and Penny have gone to the gym where Emily works out, and they want to talk to her about their concerns. In actual fact, it really is that Penny wants to speak to Emily.
Yeah.
And she's obviously bought. But just going back a little bit further. When they were saying about the fact that they think that Emily is using Raj for his money, I like it how Penny comes back and goes, no, she wouldn't do that. She's nice because she's deaf. And it's like,
yeah, and everybody knows that handicapped people are nice.
And it's like, it doesn't mean anything, Penny. But Penny's got the idea that because she's deaf, she's nice, she wouldn't use him for that. So, you know, we see that Howard's there and he's going to be interpreting for Penny. And of course, they're standing there and we see that Emily is walking towards them, and Penny suddenly whispers to Howard, "Oh, there she is." And he goes, "Great idea, whispering so the deaf chick won't hear you."
Well, and of course, there's some very attractive girls walking around, and Howard is like all eyes.
And I like it how Penny's like, "Hey, you know, you're engaged to my best friend." And he goes, "It doesn't matter where Bernadette's okay. It doesn't matter where I get my motor running, just as long as I park it in the right garage."
Yeah.
But I must admit,
that's why you let me watch Hugh Jackman movies.
Yes, I do, darling. You can watch Hugh Jackman movies. But yeah, so they start to talk about this, and while Howard's signing with for Emily, he gets distracted by the hot girls walking around, and as they're Penny's talking to
Actually being fairly diplomatic.
Very much so.
And then she realizes that Howard's not paying attention, so she smacks him and she's like, "Come on, interpret for me here."
And he signs, "Are you a gold digger?"
Or not.
And
which
of course,
is really insulting.
Emily gets very, very offended by Howard's questions and signs a furious message at him and Penny.
That he couldn't keep up with.
Which Howard translates as, "Something, something, who the something you are, and mind your own something
yourself.
And go something yourself." Obviously, we realized that after he realized that it was basically just go fuck yourself.
Hey, this is a family program.
Oh, it's okay.
Language, mister.
They're fine.
Language.
It's all about the hot sauce. So Raj also finds out, you know, what happens and gets really mad at Penny. Here she comes and knocks on the door and actually says to her about the fact that, you know, this whole thing with Emily, you know, she's just using you. And as she says, what sort of relationship is that you buy this person something and they give you sex in return?
He's like, the best one I've ever had.
And of course, Raj goes, "Oh, I see what's going on. We had a crazy night together and now you're jealous." And she's like,
"You can't stand to see me with another woman."
And she's like, "What?" And he goes, "Oh, it's okay." And she says, "I am not jealous." And he's like, "Yeah, keep telling yourself that."
Yeah.
And walks out and shuts the door. And I love it how Penny suddenly goes, "Yeah, okay, he is a lot more attractive now I know that he's loaded." Is that Penny being very superficial?
Yes. Superficial? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think that if, you know, there was a chance that maybe Penny might hook up with Raj again just to get the credit card?
Actually, I don't think so. I think it was just a momentary lapse, but yeah. I don't think she's really that kind of person.
No, neither do I. I think she's still got the one eye for Leonard and the other eye for
Leonard. Well, I think it's okay. I know that it's probably a business decision on the point of the show that her main female friends are now Amy and Bernadette because they're already paying them and they don't have to hire extras for bit parts and stuff like, but Penny used to have this huge circle of friends. She used to have girlfriends that she'd go out dancing with regularly and clubbing with and whatever. But as she's evolved and matured and become a deeper person, we're not seeing these people, these other women anymore.
No, we're not.
You know, so the old Penny from like the first and second season, she probably would have been a bit more of a gold digger.
Yeah.
But she has deepened and she's matured. She wouldn't be able to do that.
And I think Penny, because she's matured so much, she has gone away from the dressing slutty, going out to clubs and stuff like that. Because she's becoming more down to earth, and she sees that there are definitely more values in life than just doing all that. I mean, you know, that's all fine. I mean, Penny, the old Penny, used to love going out and dance and stuff like that, but
now not so much.
No. So I guess, the old Penny would have definitely jumped on the possibility of having all her credit cards paid for by Raj. Yep. So we transition back to Raj's place, and Raj has a surprise for Emily. He gives her a ruby necklace.
And it's a beautiful necklace.
It's gorgeous, but of course he gives it to her just at the moment that his parents call.
Well, it's funny because he says to her that money can't buy happiness, but boy, Cartier took a pretty good shot at it.
Yeah. And he goes, but it's okay because we have love. And you see that Emily is so excited about getting this present, which you would. So we see that Raj's parents call, and they say that basically the Penny rang them, and that you're spending all our money on your new girlfriend, and if you don't stop it, you're going to be cut off. You need to find a nice Indian girl.
And he's like, so you're trying to make me choose between the woman that I love and the money that I have very
extremely
fine for.
Yeah. And of course, it's like, you know, and I like it how his father goes, and he goes, well, I'm going to choose love. And the father goes, you're an idiot. Love doesn't last.
And
the mother
gives him.
And I like it how his father looks at the mother and goes, well, he had to find out sometime.
Yeah. And but it just, she gives such a great stink eye.
And so she does, they basically do say, Raj has to think about it and make the decision of what he's going
to
do.
Of if he wants to be cut off or not.
Yeah. So Emily comes back, and you can see that Raj is rather upset, and she signs to him what's wrong. And he goes, I think we have to give back, you know, the car. We have to take back the necklace, but it's okay because we have love. And as they hug, you see Emily's face go from smiling and happy to,
aww.
Yeah. I don't think love is going to be there. I don't think we've got that much love because I was getting all this stuff.
You will have to give back the car. And she's like, the necklace. And he's like, the necklace too.
Yeah.
And she's like,
But really, she got something out of it. She got all her
credit cards paid off. Yeah.
That's huge. Yes, so, but you can really see that Penny was really spot on.
Yep.
She is a gold digger.
Yep.
So we do see that we are back at the Penny's place. Poor old Raj is crying and being comforted by Penny over a glass of wine. And he's so upset. He's so lonely again.
And she's like, I wish I could do something to make you feel better. And he's like, really? I'm devastated and you're trying to come on to me?
And she's like, that is not it at all. I am not doing that.
And he's like, whatever you need to tell yourself to sleep at night.
Yeah. So back at the Cheesecake Factory, Raj is now having a cheesecake to compensate for his lack of women. And of course, Sheldon is using the dice to decide whether he can go to the bathroom or not, which he can't because he's had three buttermilks. And he's like, oh, that's not what you want to hear after three buttermilks. And of course, then Penny comes in with a bill and gives it to the guys. And they all say to him, thanks, buddy, for the meal. And
Penny's
all,
like, don't skimp on the tip because we all know you're loaded.
The episode then goes black, and that is the end of this episode. What do we think of that? It was okay. It wasn't great.
It had a couple of minorly amusing moments, but it wasn't a favorite by any means.
Yeah, I thought it was good, but yeah, you can really see that Raj needs to think of. Look, he has had really bad run of luck with girls.
Well, and it's because he doesn't have the confidence to believe that somebody can like him for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the select mutism was definitely a hindrance in his character development.
But even that, I mean, now that that's for the most part been dealt with, he still is just like so ridiculously insecure.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, did you notice that when Penny was comforting him in that second to last scene that she was wearing a Captain America t-shirt?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's subtle. It's not.
Oh,
like,
she's geeking out too.
It's a subtle one, but yeah, she was wearing a Captain America t-shirt.
See, the original Penny wouldn't have worn a Captain America t-shirt because she would have thought that was too geeky.
No, but it had like a V-neck cut into it. And it was like this red with a dark blue, but it was a faded dark blue.
So it was a Captain. Okay.
And it was like the shield, you know, and it was the star within the circle within the circle.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like multicolored. So you didn't immediately go, oh, Captain America
shield. So that was the star in the middle of the shield of Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
so
why I do the trivia.
I love your trivia. So do you have any more crazy credits?
I have crazy credits and
fun facts.
And for those that are following along at home, we had one round of snacks, two meals at the Cheesecake Factory, a coffee out, and a pizza out, and a pizza delivery.
And when you say coffee out, they also had muffins as well.
But yeah, but that's yeah.
Yeah, coffee out. As you said, this is a very heavy eating episode.
It was a really heavy food episode.
Yeah, it really was.
So Chuck Lorre Productions number 356. When I started writing vanity cards way back in 1995, few people noticed them. Most of those who did assumed they were some sort of legal boilerplate. Heck, even if someone got curious and hit pause on their VCR, there was no guarantee they'd be able to read the darn things. Now, forget about it. Every card gets parsed and analyzed like it was a canticle for Leibowitz. Great book, check it out. The jokes are taken way too seriously, and the stories all have a secret meaning. But sometimes a junkie monkey is just a junkie monkey. Don't get me wrong. There's a part of me that loves to exploit the silliness. But what other possible reason would I have to write the following poem? He knew where the bodies were buried because they weren't buried deep. Always follow the money. Silence don't come cheap.
Okay.
Okay.
Chuck Lorre's got a very strange mind.
He's a very odd man. I would really like to hang out with him.
A very strange duck.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, we always put up a question, and would you believe?
I forgot to write a question again, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Have you ever had a hand wax? Like a paraffin dip? Shut up. A paraffin dip.
I have gone somewhere completely different when you said that.
I don't know where you went, and I don't want to know.
You don't want to know where I went? I don't
want to know.
How about would you ever use dice to... No, actually, the paraffin wax would probably be a better question. Should we do that?
Have you ever played D&D?
Okay. Have you ever played Dungeons & Dragons?
Nope.
Or would you ever play? Okay, would you ever play Dungeons and Dragons? Yeah. So we'll do that one. Would you ever play Dungeons
and Dragons? You've really got to start thinking about these things before.
I was just so in the moment of just relaxation. I didn't know what was going on. I'm lucky if I put on pants this morning.
Okay, now that being said, and speaking of coffee a moment ago.
I like it. My putting on pants suddenly gives you an epiphany to tell something. Okay.
Well, that usually means that you're making coffee if you're putting on pants.
Okay, well, you go that, and I'll do the Dungeons
I'll go with that.
Okay. This is a very strange episode.
Aren't they all? In the show notes, if you are, okay, so first of all, we're so grateful that you listened through. If you know anyone else that would love to join the conversation who's a fan of Big Bang, we'd love for you to share the podcast. If you haven't already left us a like and a review, that always helps us get more traction and more people to find the podcast. If you really love us, and we know you do, if you'd like to buy us a coffee, there is a link in the show notes for a PayPal me. So
yes,
if you'd like to buy us a coffee, feel free to use the PayPal link.
Yeah, now a lot of people would say, like, you know, we could always say, okay, we're going to make a Patreon page that, you know, you can get the episode, you know, 2 days before everyone else, or bonus episodes, but we're not going to do bonus episodes. Kat and I have got such a busy life that it's very hard for us to sit down a lot of the time and do a lot of these stuff. We really have to block out some time. So instead of doing a Patreon, you know, page where you can go and donate to keep the show going, you don't need to keep the show going. We're going to keep this show going for ourselves. Everything that we've bought for the show, whether it be microphones or headsets or whatever, this is all on us. You are not doing this. This is all free entertainment for you guys. But in saying that, if you would like to buy us a coffee, and we would, you know, love it if you did, you don't have to. There is no obligation. But if you would like to, the show in the bottom of the show notes, there will always be a PayPal link. You just click onto it. And what do they do? Because I don't know what they do. So...
It just takes them to our PayPal, and you put in whatever amount that you want to send.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it could be any amount of money that you want to. And it's not a donation. We're not asking you to donate to us to keep the show going. Nope. It's just something that
it's just like a way of saying, if you really like what we're doing and you want to show us a little love and appreciation, we'd love for you to buy us a coffee.
Yeah. And if you want to
and support my addiction.
And if you want to email us directly, it's perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com. You can send us a message any time of the day or night. I'm not going to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and read it, nope. But I'll definitely get all the emails that you guys send us. And, you know, if you want to send us some hot sauce, I'm happy for that too.
And we periodically do a mailbag and we catch up on the email comments.
We did actually a mailbag last week. And we read out some of the responses that we get through, because what I do is I'd really go back through the list of all the questions that we've done on Spotify. And if there's new ones that pop up, I always want to make sure that I let everyone know that we are just not skimming over them. Every response we get on Spotify or a direct email will always be read out. So you never have to think to yourself, wow, I email these guys or I message these guys and they don't respond. We are not that
Paul
podcast.
Paul is amazing at that. And he always shares it with me, which I appreciate.
Yeah, we are not that podcast. We are usually talking to me
and reading it to me while I'm cooking dinner.
Yes, but we are not untouchable. We are not sitting there going, oh, we are untouchable podcast. No, we're not. We are just two people that love talking everything Big Bang Theory, and we love that you guys come here every week to listen to us just talk and prattle on. And I love the fact that everyone is really getting entertained by what we do and really and genuinely seems
so
to like
much
us.
To us that you guys enjoy listening to us ramble on about the Big Bang Theory.
And we really feel that you guys genuinely like us and the kind of people that we are. The do this show. So we really love the fact that you guys come back every week to listen to us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So yes, if you do want to buy us a coffee, the show notes in the show notes, there will always be a PayPal link. You just click onto it and whatever you want to do, if you don't want to do anything, it's all good. We love you anyway.
Yep. But we'll be your friend.
Well, you'll be your best friend. And maybe, you know, as we've said to you before, if anybody is interested in doing an episode with us that has got the technology of Zoom, let us know. And we would love to have you on as a guest host for that episode that we can have, three people talking
about. Yeah, so if you have a favorite episode and you want to jump on and talk to us about it, we would love to invite you to join us.
Yeah, and we would actually make that episode as a three-way conversation with the Big Bang Theory, because I think it would be great to hear, would you please act your age. You didn't have to say a word, but as soon as I said that, I knew I was going to trip
a
myself
Big Bang
up.
Three-way. You should see his face.
You should see her face.
Hear his eyes rolling.
Oh my God. It has been a very, very interesting episode.
Okay, I think it's time to wrap up the
episode. We are not having a Big Bang Three-way. Yeah, the silence speaks volumes, everyone.
I'm not saying a word.
I know.
Okay, so on that happy note,
if you would like to be
so
part of the Big Bang Three-Way,
what?
If you would like to be part of the Big Bang Three-Way, let us know.
Bow wow.
We'll make an OnlyFans page as well.
No. Oh, trust me, they don't want to see that.
Bow-chaka-wah-wah.
Okay, so on that note, we want to thank you so much for joining us. We can't wait to see you next time when we talk about season 5, episode 5, The Russian Rocket Reaction. And in the meantime, we'll catch up with you at the Cheesecake Factory.
Bye, everyone.
A cup of whipped hot chocolate tastes great right now. Carnations Cocoa Supreme, the delicious hot chocolate drink with the light, delicate flavor you like. Wouldn't a good hot cup taste good right now? Ask for a cup of whipped hot chocolate at our snack bar.
Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, all started with a big